This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. On a day of huge and unexpected significance for millions of Catholics, in order to steer the boat of St. Peter and proclaim the gospel, both strength of mind and body are necessary, strength which in the last few months has deteriorated in me to the extent that I have had to recognize my incapacity to adequately fulfill the ministry entrusted to me. And with that statement, Pope Benedict XVI resigns effective on February 28th, first pope to do so since Gregory XII in 1415. And that was a time of vast disarray in the church. There was a pope in Avignon, France, and Pisa, Italy, at the height of the so-called Western Schism. This is not a moment of schism, but deep internal crisis in the church nevertheless. Elected in 2005, Pope Benedict was mentored by Pope John Paul II, and many of the problems that Pope Benedict has had to deal with in his papacy emerged in the years of Pope John Paul II. Problems of modernity, of suppressed sexual abuse charges that plagued a generation, the rise of the church in Latin America and Africa, while the decline of the church's influence in the West, where secular values are seen more and more as a direct challenge to the Vatican. Joining us for more on all this from Rome is Robert Mickens, Rome correspondent for The Tablet, an international Catholic weekly. Robert Mickens, welcome.
My pleasure.
Your reaction, I suppose shock is probably not too strong a word here.
Not too strong at all. We were all taken very much by surprise. That is, all of us here in Rome that follow this Vatican and the papacy closely. I mean, in the past, some people have suggested, they said there were signs that the Pope might resign one day, but we didn't think it was going to happen, and certainly not on the 11th of February, not this day. I mean, it was just, it was, at first I thought, since we're in the season of Carnival, and it's Shrove Tuesday or Fat Tuesday tomorrow, before we begin Lent, there's a tradition in Rome, like New Year, like April Fool's, that there are jokes that go around. There's no such thing as bad joke in Carnival, and at first I thought, when I saw the tweets, that that's what this was. This must have been some kind of joke. Alas, it's not, and it's something that is going to weigh heavy on the shoulders of those cardinals who are now called to elect a successor.
Let's talk a little bit about subject to so many rapid changes, he wrote in his statement, shaken by questions of deep relevance for the life of faith, and steering the boat of St. Peter, he refers to in his message, which came out this morning and contributed to that shock you're talking about. What do you think, from his perspective, he means by the rapid changes and the questions of deep faith relevance?
Well, I mean, Pope Benedict XVI has been quite concerned about this society that seems to have become untethered from a belief in the transcendent, a belief in God. And I mean, if you just look at his latest great concern, that's is the whole definition of the family and marriage. This promised to be one of the major themes of this current year for the Pope, speaking out against gay marriage, civil unions. He really, truly believes, as many others do, I think, that the whole bedrock of society is at stake when we play around with the definition of marriage. And that must be just one of the things. The other thing, of course, is that he has a church over which he presides, which is deeply divided. I think you said at the very beginning, yes, there are no real schisms as there were back in the 15th century, but there are some major divergences of opinion over where, in which direction the church should be moving. Benedict XVI, over the last 8 years, has made a very strong appeal to move back to a more traditional style of church, even if that means that people walk away. So I think in this kind of context, when even people in his own church are not altogether in line with him, that must be very difficult for a man who's approaching his 86th year.
Best guess, do you think he is, in a sense, surrendering to the extraordinary face of change around him, in the sense that he maybe is not up to this fight to return to tradition in some kind of turn back the clock way, or is he bringing in the cavalry? Is there basically someone behind him that's going to take this fight to another level?
That's a good question. And I think what we're seeing, what we will see in the next weeks, is for the first time in modern history, a pope who's resigned and will have extremely great influence over the succession. Never before, you know, have we had this situation where, it's in modern times, as it were. Benedict XVI, we always say that when the cardinals are free in what they call the interregnum between two, when we have no pope, they are free. They are beholden to no one because cardinals take a special, make a special promise of obedience to the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome. And when there is no pope, they're free. What are they going to do when they go into a conclave? How, if there are those cardinals, and I suspect there are some at least, who want to move the church in a different direction, how free will they feel themselves to make a motion for that when the former pope is still alive? And so I think that he will have a great influence over the succession, and this may be one of the reasons why he decided to resign.
Very interesting. Robert Mickens, Rome correspondent for The Tablet, an international Catholic weekly. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And now we turn for reaction to Sister Simone Campbell, who's the executive director of NETWORK, a national Catholic social justice lobby founded by Catholic sisters. Sister Simone, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Do you think in any sense that some of the controversies, some of which you've been involved in, that are facing this pope have led to his sense of really not being able to go on?
Well, that's an interesting question. I have a hunch that it may have added to his fatigue level and being always engaged in worrisome conflict, I know, just wears the body out. So it may be a part of it. I think, though, it must be, he must feel really pretty debilitated for him to say that he's going to resign. Because it's such a huge step, it hasn't been done in modern history, so he must be very weary at this point.
Sister, I wonder if you can explain, this is one of those kind of total eclipse of the sun moments for the Catholic community, in that there's one relationship the Catholics have with the Church, the giant institution of the Church, and the Pope, of course, is the leader of that institution. Yet, when something like this happens, there's also this one-to-one relationship between a member of the flock and that man, and maybe woman someday, who knows, but that man who's there at the top when something like this happens. How does that work in your own soul?
I think what, for me, one, I'm surprised. I was stunned to hear the news this morning. But I think that the Pope, for better or worse, becomes emblematic of the direction that our church is taking. And I certainly had questions or concerns about the fact that there was such a limited pastoral response in these years of his papacy. And the fact that it seemed like fear was more his approach, pull up the drawbridge, protect ourselves from the beauty of creation. So for me, while there's that one-on-one relationship, I mean, he is sort of the mythical figure that embodies the leadership of the church. Yet at the same time, I found myself having arguments in my head with him and thinking, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. So I see it both as the gift he's given to the church, his fidelity, his struggle, his effort to understand in his own way. But I do think it is a gift to the church to open up to something new.
Prayers answered, in a sense?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but I do think that the Spirit is about change, and the Holy Spirit is creating something new. So we have an opportunity here to respond. And hopefully, the gospel that we read yesterday at Mass, Jesus says yet again, fear not. And I'm hoping that we can be the church that follows Jesus' word and fear not, embrace the creation that is of God.
We're talking with Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of a national Catholic social justice lobby called NETWORK, founded by Catholic sisters. I certainly wouldn't mean to ascribe to you, you know, praying that Pope Benedict is going to go away. But I'm wondering,
I'm
wondering if the prayers that I'm speaking of are for the church to be a better listener, a more flexible institution in a time of such change. And I guess, demands for change on the part of people like you.
Well, I guess my prayer actually is that the church might be more pastoral, might be more like Jesus, and that our leadership would go and stand with those who are on the margins of society to touch the needs of our time, to touch the hurts of the world, and to be bold in reaching out to heal and not just to censure, to judge. I think if we stay close to the gospel and the way Jesus did it, then I think we'd be on a better foot. I know that Pope Benedict, as a theologian, was very concerned about the purity of doctrine. I think that is a legitimate concern, but for me, where my life takes me is to stand with those who are left out, and I find Jesus' words in the gospel continuing to call us there. So my hope is maybe our leadership could do that too.
Well, I'm not going to turn you into a conclave pundit. There are so many out there who know the politics of the Congress of Cardinals. And that decision will be made on the basis of factors that we probably cannot know. But I'm wondering if you're either yearning for or see an end to this purity of doctrine notion that really crystallized during John Paul II and which Pope Benedict has taken forward. Maybe it's a moment to step back from that and that the pendulum is going to swing in a different way, focused on the rise of the church in places like Africa, focusing on the kinds of demands that you're talking about in terms of economic inequality.
Right. I mean, it very well could. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. The fact is that the church is explosive growth in Africa, India, parts of India, Latin America. And so leadership needs to understand that phenomenon. However, I must say that most of the cardinals that have been appointed have had way more academic experience or theological experience or experience in canon law than they have pastoral experience. So hopefully the spirit is alive and well in the process and helps all to see the pastoral needs of our church.
All right, Sister Simone Campbell, thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sister Simone Campbell is the executive director of NETWORK, a national Catholic social justice lobby founded by Catholic sisters. You might remember Sister Campbell, who was leading the Nuns on the Bus tour, which showed up memorably at the Democratic National Convention last year. Pope Benedict XVI has announced he's stepping down at the end of the month. Are you surprised? What does it mean for the Catholic Church? What do you think should be the path of the church in the next papacy? We'd love to know your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And while you're there, be a part of our six-word memoir project. Tell us your personal story of love or loss in only six words. Nancy from New Jersey, "Hearts don't break, the ego bruises. I can't even say her name," wrote Keith. And Heather, "Where did it all go wrong?" We'd love to know your six-word memoir story, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up, the State of the Union. It's a local matter from communities around the country.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.